Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My name is Jeffrey Sharp. I'm the general manager for Legends Global at the Sanger Theater. I'm here to address recent community commentary around programming at the theater, specifically a drag queen Christmas scheduled for December. As the exclusive operator of the Sanger Theater, Legends Global is proud to help preserve the theater's legacy as a beloved part of the Pensacola community. Our role at the theater includes all operations, facility oversight, guest services, ticketing, and all booking decisions at the venue.
This had to not be the best thing that Jeffrey Sharp ever had to do as the manager of the Sanger Theater. His favorite thing, to show up at the, well, what they claim was going to be 1,000 people, but was at least a couple of hundred people. Still nothing to, you know, nothing to blink at. On Thursday night to protest the ongoing, every time we have a city council meeting, protest about the Drag Queen Christmas scheduled for the Sanger Theater for December 23rd. And manager of the Sanger, Jeffrey Sharp, shows up and says, hey, you know, we manage this, and I'm here to talk about it. And I wonder what time he had to show up, like, because, you know, it's first come, first serve. And I'm assuming that all the protesters got there early and got their name in. So, you know, did he show up at 4, 4:30? I don't know. It's like, you know, camping out for tickets. He had to camp out earliest because he wanted to speak first in what I expected to be an effort to defuse the situation.
For more than 100 years, the Sanger Theater has served as a gathering place for the Pensacola community, welcoming audiences to experience a variety of performances. While the views and messages expressed are those of the artists and do not necessarily reflect the theater or its partners, our role is to offer a space where live entertainment can be shared and enjoyed. Above all, the safety and comfort of our guests, staff, and performers is always our top priority. Every event undergoes a thorough evaluation to ensure appropriate measures are in place for it to proceed responsibly. Additionally, the contract between Legends Global and every event promoter and production company we work with requires compliance with applicable local, state, and federal laws.
Okay, so keeping people safe and obeying the law is crucial. And this has been one of the concerns about this show, is that it would violate the law, because at least in one former iteration of the show, as very vividly described by Pastor James Johnson, things happen that we don't need to describe in detail again. That, you know, when he described it in front of the city council, I actually censored him describing anatomically correctly what was seen. So, which would, if done at the Sanger Theater, would seem to violate at least a couple of ordinances here in the city of Pensacola, and, you know, then you wonder, well, you know, is the police department going to arrest him like they used to arrest in Broward County Two Live Crew back in the day? All right, so Jeffrey Sharp is going to address it. He says, look, you know, they got to obey the law. And given the concerns, we specifically talked to them about this concern.
Based on some of the concerns raised about the show in question, we've gone the extra mile and provided the event production company with copies of the relevant city ordinances and state laws. Consequently, if this show's content violates city ordinances or state laws regarding nudity, graphic content, or obscenity, performers could face arrest. The production company could be held legally liable, and authorities could shut down the production immediately.
Yeah, so we're going to be, this is kind of what we had talked about. If you can't issue a prior restraint against content that hasn't been produced yet, I don't know what the current version of Drag Queen Christmas contains. There are certainly variations of this concept which would be perfectly legal, variations of the concept which would be blatantly illegal or obscene or involve, you know, lurid nudity. And then there might be margin calls, right? I mean, like anything that's going to be adult content, you're not sure where it's going to land on this spectrum. And what he's saying is, look, we're going to be watching, and if it goes over the line, you're going to get shut down and maybe some people are going to get arrested, which is actually, that's kind of what I expected to happen in this case. And frankly, what I expect is for the show to be, you know, unobscene. I expect the show to be clean because of the, you know, objections that have been raised and the concerns and the enforcement that's been promised. That's, none of this is a surprise, but it was nice to hear Jeffrey Sharp show up and say this.
We respect that members of our community may hold differing views on performances scheduled at the venue, and we appreciate every person has taken the time to respectfully share their perspective regarding a Drag Queen Christmas. As the exclusive booker for the Sanger Theater, we remain committed to providing diverse programming and outstanding experiences for everyone who visits for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp.
And what you could describe as a packed house of tepid applause. Because there were, by the way, what made this kind of interesting on Thursday is that you had most of the people in the room, the loudest of the applause, clearly, was against the show, shut it down, it's blasphemy, it's adult, it's nudity, it's lurid, it's disgusting, at Christmas it's inappropriate, all the things, okay? But there were also a fair number of supporters, advocates, who got up and spoke on behalf of either the show itself or of tolerance of the show. And as is often the case with public issues, there are three positions. There's being for the thing, there's being against the thing, and there's being not in favor of the thing, but in favor of allowing the thing, the tolerant position, right? There's intolerance, tolerance, and support, right? Some people support it. Some people intolerate it, want it to be stopped. That's literally the definition of intolerance. And by the way, intolerance is not always bad. I mean, we intolerate a lot of things, you know, particularly our society intolerates murder. You know, we're getting ready to execute, what, the 16th person this year in the state of Florida, somebody who did horrible, awful, unbelievably horrible things to a child, and rightly so. That's exactly what we should do. We should be incredibly intolerant of that kind of stuff. There are other things that we advocate for and support. And then there are things that we do not like, but we put up with, we endure. And, of course, the key question around this Drag Queen Christmas is this something that we should be supporting? Is it something we should be tolerating? Or is it something that we should be stopping or intolerating? And so I actually thought at this point, I thought mostly, I mean, maybe I was naive. I thought the issue was settled. Because he got up and said, it's going to happen, and we're going to watch it, and it's going to be legal. And if it's not legal, we'll stop it, and we'll arrest people. And my naive Andrew McKay's thought was, well, cool, we're done. The conversation should be over. Because if it's going to be legal, then what's left to object to? Well, the next 2.5 hours is what's left. So the way the city council works, you do a half hour of what's called the Leroy Boyd Forum for public, you know, input on anything that's not on the agenda. And that goes a half hour from 5:30 to 6. At 6, they start the regular agenda. They talk about the things that most people are indifferent to, usually pretty boring stuff. And then they go until they finish. And when they finish and they're doing wrap-up comments, because I wasn't watching but I was listening, I always listen to these things on basically on one of my old phones is my MP3 player. I'm like, oh, that was a quick meeting. 29, I think, speakers stayed to the second Leroy Boyd forum. I've never seen it. It may have happened and I may forget a particular case, but I've never seen so many speakers wait for the second chance. In fact, all the other times, they all kind of leave. And there's been a little bit of a joke by Jared Moore, the city council president, that, you know, it's the quietest departure ever because they're all a bunch of, you know, good, obedient Christians, except for they're upset about this one thing. Well, no. They all stayed. And it was not all were against. Again, there were many who were for or for tolerance. And so there were 29 speakers. And Jared's like, well, 29 speakers at 3 minutes a pop. You do the math. And sure enough, it took an hour and a half to get through all the rest of the speakers. Anyway, in the initial set of comments. You had Jeffrey Sharp. You also had a person named Steve McCollum who was speaking on behalf of the show and basically talking about the host and some of the participants and, you know, who are they and what are their backgrounds and what are their qualifications? And because that may matter to those of you trying to assess the show itself in terms of its artistic potential.
I wanted to sit here today and talk a little bit about the host of the Drag Queen Christmas that's coming up. We have Nina West, who is the host and a well-known artist all throughout the country and quite frankly all around the world. She's one of these people that is a community leader. She's known offstage as Andrew Levitt, and she's used her art to raise more than $2 million for organizations like ACLU, Dress for Success, and other LGBTQ initiatives. She has a street named after her in Columbus. I know we had a great conversation about naming things last week or last 2 weeks ago. and she has an honorary doctorate for her contributions via her civic life. She's also an author, a musician, a producer. She also wrote a book called The You Kind of You that teaches empathy and self-acceptance. Nina shows how drag can be joyful, generous, and deeply rooted in community care.
So he's obviously advocating for the show, for the participants, and Steve McCullum went on to talk about a couple more.
Jules Sparkles, another cast member, is also from Florida. She brings her Cuban Puerto Rican heritage to every performance. Her story is one of family, pride, and cultural representation. And Lexi Love, perhaps one of the most powerful examples of transformation. She overcame addiction. She overcame homelessness. She overcame the trauma of abuse, of being kicked out of her home, of being beaten. And she has used the art of drag to turn her pain into purpose and helping others do the same.
And so again, you know, this has been to date a pretty lopsided conversation almost entirely by the particular Christians here in Pensacola who oppose the thing. And there have been a couple of people the last time this came as not an agenda item, just as a public forum commentary, who defended it or defended tolerating it. And now you have, you know, it was in the news that this was going to happen and people knew. And so a few more people showed up. And Stephen McCullum was one of the advocates. And I think this is good. In fact, this is what you want out of a democracy. You want a conversation between the people who disagree with each other. You want to hear from, you know, at least both sides. In this case, again, I think there are, you know, really three positions you might take. And it is good to hear from all of them. James Johnson was the next speaker, or one of the next. I didn't cut clips from everybody, but I thought, you know, obviously the highlights. He's been the most vocal opponent in terms of being the local pastor kind of shepherding this. There's a couple of others as well, but, you know, really opposing this. And he, of course, advertises on our station, and you hear a clip from him every, you know, 7:20 or so every morning. And he, you know, he basically said, look, I've got three, I think he called them demands, requests, whatever you want to call it, but three things he wants to see the city council do.
I'd like to request three things. First,
request.
I am publicly calling on President Moore to sponsor a formal agenda item for whether or not the city will cancel Drag Queen Christmas. We need this council to go on the record publicly and vote. Several of you are up for re-election in 2026, and this topic matters deeply to many voters.
Now, at first, that seems like a really obvious, well, it's become a matter of public controversy. Why not have a vote? Right? I mean, that seems like a fairly straightforward request. Not so fast. First of all, any city council member could already have done this. The fact that they have not tells you that they don't want to. This is one of those times where I think you really can read by inaction the decision. That everybody on city council is either in favor of the show or in favor of tolerating the show, or it's a slightly more nuanced version of tolerance, which is we have a contract in hand, we believe it is financially disadvantageous to the city, and perhaps we might get sued under First Amendment, 14th Amendment, and or breach of contract grounds. And so put all of that together, and we think we should tolerate it. Maybe we wouldn't have approved it in the first place. Maybe if you'd asked us 3 months ago, we would have said no. But somewhere in that vicinity, and, you know, council members have weighed in on this previously, just not in a formal agenda item setting. And also the city attorney, Adam Cobb, has said, you can't do this. I mean, don't do this. Please don't do this. This, you're going to be wrong. You're going to get sued. You're going to lose. You know, the Constitution and contract law both require us to carry through with this contract, and the fact that we're going to make sure they don't violate the law with obscenity means that we're on the right legal ground. So I don't think he's going to get this request met. But, you know, city council, they're politicians, they're responsive to the public and what they think the public cares about, and we'll see. Maybe they will.
Second, I'm respectfully calling on Allison Patton to sponsor a second agenda item. Since the Sanger is located in her district, this agenda item will require the council to lay out a criteria in accordance with the Miller test and a system through which the city can prevent other obscene shows from performing at the city-owned Sanger.
Again, if it turns out to be obscene, it'll get stopped. Possibly people will get arrested. But I think this one is likely to happen. I don't think it'll happen before December, but I do think in January there may well be a workshop. And then they will have a policy on vetting or more thorough vetting or a way for people to object to shows. And I think you'll actually wind up having something like this develop. So I think Pastor Johnson is going to get his demand on that one. Number three.
And then third, I'd like to hear more from the general manager of the Sanger. Specifically, I'd like him to come and explain to these citizens and to this council what happened back in July.
And according to evidence or documents that James Johnson has, emails, I haven't requested them. I trust his account. He's an honest person. Is that apparently this is on the verge of being canceled, and then for some relatively inexplicable reasons, it was not. And, you know, that Jeffrey Sharp, the manager of the Sanger, was on the verge of canceling, and then it didn't get canceled. Then there's some question about whether he laughed at requests to cancel it later or not. But essentially, he's wanting more of an explanation from Jeffrey Sharp about how we got here, and presumably from, you know, Mayor Reeves and anybody else who might be relevant to that. That, of course, could come up in the context of an agenda item if they ever do it. And then he left off essentially with,
"And I know the city council doesn't want to be discussing any of this. You all would prefer to be discussing parks and potholes, not G-strings and male genitalia."
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good flair for the dramatic as a way of presenting the issue. And then he said, look, you know, the Sanger or the city council could certainly close this show, prevent this show. Please do that.
"And he can announce to these taxpayers that he's canceling Drag Queen Christmas. If he can muster up that gumption, I promise you, we will support you in that decision."
And there you hear a little bit different volume number of participants on the anti-camp. I'm guessing that the numbers were somewhere in the 5 to 10 to 1 vicinity against versus 4. Maybe it was more than that, 20 or 30 to 1. I don't know. But it was a lot against, and it was a few for or a few for tolerance. So that's where we're going to leave it for now. We're going to come back to this, you know, top of the hour as much as we can. I know we're kind of dealing with the huge, amazing news out of Israel right now, where the 20 hostages are all in various phases of custody return, the living ones custody returning back to Israel. We are still waiting for President Trump to address the Knesset. Obviously, we don't know when that's going to be, but certainly we will carry his comments live. It's a huge day. This is also a big controversy. It continues to be a much bigger controversy than even I expected it to be, but we'll talk about it going forward. 437-1620, if you have input comments that you want to make, I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
eBay has reinvented vehicle buying. From click to curb, everything's covered. Ever try to buy a car online and end up in a parking lot with a stranger and some blind trust? That era is over. Now with Secure Purchase, eBay isn't just where you find your car. It's where you buy it, start to finish. Title, financing, registration, delivery, it's all built in. This is the modern way to buy your next ride on eBay. eBay. Things people love. Secure Purchase is powered by Caramel Dealer Services, LLC, an eBay subsidiary.
Join Katie Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for Car Care tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss Car Care tomorrow at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And happy birthday to the Navy. Yeah, happy birthday to U.S. Navy. It's kind of there's a couple of different dates that we talk about in terms of the Navy's birthday, but this is the one that is sort of officially acknowledged. In 1972, Chief of Naval Operations Admiral Elmo Zumwalt for which we have a destroyer named. Unfortunately for him, a really not great destroyer, very expensive. Anyway, the Navy celebrates his birthday on October 13th to honor the establishment of the Continental Navy in 1775, meaning that today is the quarter of a millennium birthday for the U.S. Navy. 250. Bingo. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Pulled up the wrong page here. Here we go. The federal government shutdown continues with little signs of progress to end it. The Senate has conducted 7 votes now on Democratic and Republican plans to end the shutdown. All of those have failed. Senators will not be back for another effort until tomorrow.
It is honest to goodness, I have no idea when this ends. There's no indication it's going to end. There doesn't look to be a pressure point that you could reach that would make it end. I don't know when this ends. Of course, Trump is looking at scrambling and scrounging any way to pay the military tomorrow or Wednesday when their first paycheck would be missed otherwise. Other than that, I don't know.
Yeah, I initially would have thought that this would have been short-lived, but it's not looking like that. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois rejecting President Trump's consideration of invoking the Insurrection Act. He made an appearance on ABC's This Week and said he doesn't believe there's any ground to use the that law.
It was kind of interesting that I think it was Friday or Thursday that was the anniversary of the Democratic National Convention where troops were deployed to Chicago. Because of what was happening at the DNC in 68. It was in 68. So, yeah. Interesting anniversary.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's all I got.
Cool. David Wayne's got local news coming up next after Fox, and President Trump will carry him live whenever he starts speaking.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Papa, a grateful nation. Israelis in Tel Aviv and Freed Square. President Trump addressing Israel's parliament, touting a historic dawn of a new Middle East. Fox's Steve Harrigan.
The Israeli Defense Forces gave a simple statement that this nation has waited 2 years to hear. There are no more living hostages in Hamas captivity.
Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel are now free. Powerful nor'easter slamming the mid-Atlantic and northeast.
The next high tide for Freeport is 2 in the afternoon. So give and take between the Jersey Shore, south-facing shores of Long Island, moving across the Long Island Sound, it's really that 2 to 4 p.m. window that it could get a little dicey.
Fox Weather's Britta Murren on the south shore of New York's Long Island. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got mostly clear skies. It is 60 degrees here in Pensacola this morning. Of course, we are following the Israeli parliament this morning, where President Trump is expected to deliver some remarks here momentarily. We'll have that live for you when it happens. Taking a look at our local news headlines, the Escambia Sheriff's Office searching for 17-year-old Yandel Manuel Duran. He's wanted for attempted murder. This is after the recent shots fired incident that happened on Pensacola Beach September 20th. Investigators said that stemmed from an altercation that happened in downtown Pensacola and led to shots being fired from a vehicle in the Quiet Water Beach boardwalk parking lot. Nobody was injured during that, but multiple vehicles were damaged. Sheriff Chip Simmons said on Friday, Duran faces multiple charges, including attempted murder, aggravated assault, criminal mischief, and firing a weapon in public. If you have any information about Duran or that incident that happened on Pensacola Beach last month, contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office, or you can call Crime Stoppers. A former Escambia sheriff's deputy that was convicted of child sex crimes is back in jail after being arrested on a probation violation. Officials say 39-year-old Jeremy Zaid was arrested on a probation violation at the end of September. He was first arrested in July 2019 for sexually abusing 2 kids under the age of 6. Allegations included severe sexual misconduct. Zaid served several months in prison before being released July of 2022. Details surrounding his probation violation have not been released. 19-year-old Alabama man is dead after a crash in Escambia County on Saturday night. It happened about 15 miles east of Bruton Saturday night. Officials say the man was driving a Chevy Camaro that ran off the road, hit some trees, and then rolled. He died at the scene of that crash. Well, Florida senators sending well wishes to an injured deputy. Dixie County Deputy Cody Pope was shot in the line of duty Saturday. Senators Rick Scott and Ashley Moody said on Saturday they're praying for Pope's recovery. Scott wrote on X that brave law enforcement officers put their lives on the line every day to keep us safe. He says, we'll always stand with them. Moody said that we owe them our gratitude and our respect. Well, a convicted killer set to die in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis signing the death warrant for Brian Frederick Jennings on Friday. The 66-year-old kidnapped, raped, and beat a killed a 6-year-old girl in Brevard County. This was back in 1979. Jennings was 20 years old at the time. He was a Marine and home on leave from Japan. His execution date has been set for November 13th. It is 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Right now, 55 degrees in Milton, 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze. Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSIA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Can I tell you just like a really weird thing that just happened to me? Like just happened. It's not like breaking news, but it did just happen.
Please do. Please
John,
tell
you heard me. Did you find this interesting?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm reading the history of the Navy because, you know, the Navy was disbanded for a little while after the American Revolution, and it's the 250th anniversary of their founding. The official date is October 13, 1775, when the Second Continental Congress created the Navy. And then, you know, after we won the Revolution, then we disbanded the Navy, and then there was piracy off the Barbary Coast, and George Washington recreated the Navy in 1994. And, you know, I was just kind of looking stuff. There was a part of me that, pardon me, that my knowledge of dates and history, especially old history, is not that great. And I just wanted to make sure that was when Washington was in office. And sure enough, it was, okay? And, but I was looking it up, so I look up George Washington, and I type into my Google Chrome, because that's my, you know, I type in George Washington and hit return. Well, you know how when you search things in Chrome, it'll sometimes suggest something else as its top result. And I kid you not, the top result when you start with George Washington is George Washington Johnson, the black singer, who was the first guy to ever record, first black guy to ever, or African-American, I don't care, whatever terms you prefer, I just, you know, anyway. The first black guy to record on the phonograph. And his most famous song is a song that I won't say the name of because it's...
If you're interested, you can Google
it. You can look it up.
Yep.
But I'm like, I type in George Washington and hit return and I get this guy. And I'm like, what?
I know.
What in the world? So I did it again. I G-E-O-R-G-E-W. And literally the first result is George Washington Johnson. The second result is George Washington. The third result is when it's trying to suggest what things I'm trying, when it's trying to figure out what I'm going for. The third result is George Washington Carver, which is kind of understandable. I was actually surprised that. I mean, if you're going to have one not be the George Washington, seems like Carver would be the natural. Nope, he's third on the list. And then it's George Washington's farewell address. And then it's, I don't know, it's probably George Washington University and George Washington lapel pin. I don't know. It's other stuff after that. Like, what? Look, I'm not quick to jump to conclusions. And I do not pretend to understand all the deep mysteries of the search engine optimization algorithm. I'm just trying to figure out in what universe, except one that's deliberately designed to produce a result, would George Washington Johnson take over priority from George Washington in my search engine? And, you know, it's weird. John, weird?
Yes.
Super weird.
I agree. Especially your face when it happened. I was just like, oh no, what?
Well,
oh no.
You know, it brings up the search results for George Washington Johnson. And you know, I'm expecting to see pictures of George Washington and, you know, 1789 and founder of the country. And instead I've got some, you know, random black singer staring me in the face. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that is not what he looked like. You know? And not even a picture, because there were no pictures yet when there was George Washington. This is a picture of a guy, and I'm thinking this is incredibly weird. So I don't know what to make of it exactly, but share it with you because it happened to me. So happy birthday to the Navy, and also congratulations to George Washington Johnson, either between actual natural searching for you or whatever weird proprietary push the wokists at Google have come up with. You know, the people who are burying poop underground. Kid you not, listen to Transgressors on Friday. They've inked the deal to bury 50,000 tons of poop underground so that it doesn't methane us all to death. Not even kidding. This is not even a joke. Apparently, we got this one resolved. So, yay for us. 437-1620. Oh, my goodness. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has got a great selection of good quality used cars. And the idea at Frontier is, number one, we're going to get you almost new cars. Not brand new. We're going to save you from the first, you know, mild depreciation knock that really stinks for everybody. But also, we're going to get you cars that are great condition. You can depend on them for a long time. Okay, so cars that are, you know, 1 to 3 years young, 10 to 40,000 miles, kind of that vicinity is their sweet spot. And then they warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years. All included. No problem. But the other thing that they do is not just sell good cars at good prices, but they treat you like the kind of person that they want to have come back. You know, because there's this idea a lot of times for used car people, like, you know, we'll get you the one time and we just kind of keep getting people the one time. And that's how we make our business work. And that's why you feel like they got you. That's how you feel like adversarial when you go there and you got to be on your toes and be on defense. Frontier is trying to make you a customer for life. And when you're going to expect to see somebody again and again, you don't take advantage of them the first time because you're trying to make them feel like they got a good deal, too. So it's a partnership. We both benefit. It's a win-win. That's the idea behind Frontier. And they do all kinds of things to show that that's the way they think of it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. The big news this morning, of course, it's not the only news, but it is really almost the only news, is that the hostages, all 20 of the living hostages, have been released into the custody of the Israelis. They're in various phases of this release. I think the first seven have actually transferred into Israeli custody, if the top of the hour news was correct. And then the rest are sort of in process with the Red Cross or whoever's handling this. But amazing. Amazing. Kudos to President Trump. You know, nobody could have known this was going to happen. It really does feel like the final day. It's been 2 years, right? Just over 2 years. The anniversary was last week. And it's just been over two years since this happened. And this is still not a solution to the problems of Gaza, but this is an end to the captivity of these hostages. And, of course, lots and lots and lots of Palestinian or Gazan or Hamas folks that have been in captivity in Israel as a result of the war are also being released. Massive numbers. It's a disproportionate number that are being released. You know, they're paying a lot to get their 20 back or to get, you know, the 20 back. and also the remains of the rest to prove that there are no more alive. But you know, phase two is going to be a big, long, hairy process. President Trump is there, actually, at the Knesset right now. Bibi Netanyahu is speaking, and if I know Benjamin Netanyahu, and I don't know him personally, but I know him by watching many, many, many of his speeches, I have no earthly idea when President Trump is going to talk. I was surprised that I assume it's the prime minister who was speaking before, and he spoke for like 20 minutes or so, and now Bibi's talking, and Bibi can talk. Long. So we might not hear from the president for, I don't know, 5 minutes, an hour? Get, you know, put some numbers on a dartboard and we'll figure it out. 544 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, the president, it's also Columbus Day. President issuing a proclamation on behalf of Columbus Day for today, the day when we remember that the nation, or the land anyway, was discovered. You say, well, people were already here. Yeah, but... But had it not been for Columbus, with money from the Spanish crown, looking for a route to connect by sea Europe and, well, Spain, and Asia, right? India is what he thought he had. I mean, I know this is super obvious, and I know it's going to seem very third grade of me to explain, but they knew the world was round, first of all. Nobody ever thought the world was flat. That's an idiotic rumor started in a fictional story by Washington Irving about Columbus in the mid-1800s. Nobody thought the earth was flat. They're not dumb. Every sailor knows the earth is round because there's a horizon that recedes. Don't get me started. This is one of the most persistent historical lies that Americans believe, is that the sailors at the time of Columbus believed the earth was flat. Really? Really? Why'd they call it the West Indies? Why did they think they landed in India? They knew the world was round. You say, well, but I've been told. Okay, you go look it up. You go look it up. And just common sense tells you that our sailors, typically, you know, the average kind of person that's going to be used by the Spanish crown to send a trio of ships over the flat edge to find out that it's not flat. Are sailors the most, like, cutting-edge, novel, scientific theory advocates? Or are they more... by the time it's well established is when they believe it. Because the typical theory would have you believe that Washington, or that Columbus was proposing to prove the earth was round, and he got all these sailors in the Spanish crown to like sign on to this crazy thing, and you know they were there scared, telling their friends and relatives, no, we're not going to sail off the edge of the world, we're going to go around. Like, sure you are, we all know the world is flat. I mean, it's just, it's an insane theory to believe that that's historically accurate. But you don't question things enough. And so anyway, yeah, they thought the earth was a lot smaller. They knew it was round. They thought it was a lot smaller. And that's why they thought they had enough provisions to survive to Asia. Ironically, had it been as big, had it been America in the way, they probably would have all just died because they didn't have enough supplies to get to actual Asia. If it had been as big as it really is, they just thought it was a lot smaller. Anyway, so, you know, they arrive here and they discover it. You say, well, how can you discover something where people are already there? Yeah, because for the future of the Americas, nothing mattered anywhere near as much as the fact that Columbus arrived. The fact that there were already people here was insignificant for the future of what this continent or these two continents would become. So Columbus gets here and, you know, there's been a lot of controversy since, but he is, in fact, the one who discovered it. Although you could say, and by the way, the president also had a proclamation for Leif Erikson Day. And Leif Erikson, of course, was the Scandinavian, the Viking, who came and discovered Canada, you know, what, 1,000 years or so before Columbus. And his exploits gave courage to Columbus and others, maybe that they could discover something that Leif Erikson had also discovered. But October 9th, which was last Thursday, was officially Leif Erikson Day. One more quick note on this that I found fascinating. I had not seen this. I do not know how long it's been going on. But if you actually read the proclamations, both for Leif Erikson Day and also... Oh, and there's no Indigenous Peoples Day anymore for President Trump. I mean, that's... Besides, what did they do on this day? I mean, if you're going to have Indigenous Peoples Day, what did they do? They got discovered? I mean, you know, like... The hatred of Columbus and the fighting over his legacy, and it's fair to say some of the awful things that happened either by him or subsequent to him... has led people to try to replace Columbus with Indigenous Peoples Day to recognize the Native Americans who lived here before he came. Yeah, but again, that's just hatred of Columbus and Europe and the Eurocentric view of history, which is our history. And it doesn't make any sense to have Indigenous Peoples Day today, because what did they do? You know, something was done by Columbus. Something was done by Leif Erikson. What was done by Indigenous Peoples Day? Well, just, you know, inhabiting. Anyway, the Trump in his proclamation, he kind of used some incendiary language about this. He said, I lost the phrasing of it, but, you know, essentially all of these leftists are waging war and, you know, trying to do away with the legacy. Outrageously, in recent years, Christopher Columbus has been a prime target of a vicious and merciless campaign to erase our history, slander our heroes, and attack our heritage. Before our very eyes, left-wing radicals toppled his statues, vandalized his monuments, tarnished his character, and sought to exile him from our public spaces. Under my leadership, those days are finally over, and our nation will now abide by a simple truth. Christopher Columbus was a true American hero, and every citizen is eternally indebted to his relentless determination. Of course, Saturday Night Live made a joke about that and said, here we are arresting all of the Hispanics in America and expelling them. Meanwhile, Christopher Columbus is the guy who brought a whole bunch of Hispanics here on boats, which is, I mean, that's a good joke. That's funny. But back to the observation on the two proclamations, both for Leif Erikson Day and for Christopher Columbus Day, both of them are signed this thusly: in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand this ninth day of October in the year of our Lord 2025. Very normal. And of the independence of the United States of America, the 250th. So we're now counting time by the U.S. independence in 1776. I just thought that was interesting. I had not seen that in anything else the president has signed. I guess I could go back to some of the early January and February proclamations and see if that's the case. But at some point, fairly recently, he has started signing his proclamations both with the year of our Lord and the year of the United States era, so to speak, 250th year, which is, I'm not objecting. I think it's a kind of a neat historical note. It's unusual, and I kind of like it. I don't know what to make of it, but there it is. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What does New South Proud mean? It means you can save 35% on windows and doors. And not just any windows and doors. We're talking New South American-made windows and doors that offer premium protection from hurricanes, intruders, and noise. And they're guaranteed for life. Get 35% off American-made windows and doors until October 31st, 2025. Call 800-NEW-WINDOWS. Visit newsouthwindow.com/deal for details.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Sorry, Charlie. Only good tasting tuna get to be star-kissed.
Mr. President, thank you for all you have done for us. I have submitted your nomination to be the first non-Israeli recipient of the Israel Prize, Israel's highest award. As to that other prize, just a question of time, you'll get it. But I want you to get the Israel Prize, our highest award, to our greatest friend.
That was Benjamin Netanyahu just moments ago, and of course we are waiting now.
Sorry,
we're actually
Charlie.
Expecting.
Only good tasting tuna get to be Starkist.
Sorry about that. Yeah, that's my computer. I did a bad thing. Anyway, we're waiting for President Trump to speak. In fact, Benjamin Netanyahu seems to be wrapping up. Of course, Bibi can do a 5-minute wrap up of a 10-second thing. We still have him speaking. Benjamin Netanyahu is still speaking. Is that right? Or is he almost here with Trump? Why don't we go ahead and pull him up? Go ahead and pull him up. This really is a historic day where we have Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at the Knesset, wanting to honor Trump, who did not win the Nobel Peace Prize, at least not yet, and President Trump getting ready to speak on the historic day of the...
Where?
They're talking to each other.
Come on up, opposition. Come on, opposition.
Yeah, okay.
אני מתכבד להזמין כעת את ראש האופוזיציה, חבר הכנסת יאיר לפיד.
All right, so we'll just keep an eye on this. Let's bring David Wayne in here with a headline or two for us while we're waiting for President Trump to speak, which looks like, we're going to get the opposition, the non-Bibi Netanyahu portion of parliament are going to speak for a little while. And then at some future point, we'll have actual President Trump. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. At least 4 people have died and 20 people were injured after a shooting at a bar in South Carolina yesterday. The Beaufort County Sheriff's Office there says that happened at Willie's Bar on St. Helena Island. Now, that's about 50 miles north of Savannah, Georgia, and we'll be watching that. So far, they haven't announced any arrests. Tesla CEO Elon Musk supporting sending federal troops to San Francisco. He shared a survey on X from The Voice of San Francisco, which showed that 80% of voters would welcome federal intervention to deal with the fentanyl epidemic there. And
So a survey on X seemed friendly to the president and Elon Musk's political position.
Shocking, I know.
Weird. Why not do it on Truth Social, a truly neutral and unbiased platform?
That would be the place to get the truly opposing voices.
To be fair, it genuinely could be true that a lot of people in San Francisco want it, even a majority. You don't know until you do some other survey. You never know.
3 men have now been awarded the Zvi Jesrespank Prize.
What? Say that again?
Whoa, wait a second.
Who spanked who?
What?
Okay, look, there's a pronouncer thing. It says Zvi Jesrespank Prize.
Spank Prize?
Go on.
That I am just an unbiased journalist
you
doing
are.
My best.
You
here.
Are. Reading the pronouncer as it's written for you. Tell me more about this Jesrespank Prize.
Well, the Jesrespank Prize is an economic site.
You know, it's always the 5 o'clock hour. It's always the 5 o'clock hour that gets us. Anyway, go on. All right.
I could have been a janitor somewhere.
And scene.
in economic sciences in memory of Alfred Nobel for their work in explaining economic growth. This was a terrible pick for a story. Joel Mocher.
Go back into the bag of stories for a better one, David.
An Israeli-American economist was awarded half of the prize for having identified the prerequisites for sustained growth through technological progress. So there you have it.
So he only got half a spank. Because he only got half of the Jesrespank Prize, right?
Yes.
Would you like to go back in your hole, sir?
Back to the news hole. Just knock twice when you want me to come back out.
We'll see if there's going to be more summer or not. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:57, I think. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, where are we now? How about an ad? Why not? Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a house, speaking of, Christine Leavenworth, I have to kind of get these out of the way early because who knows how long Trump is going to speak. I mean, he could speak for an hour and a half. It could be 10 minutes. You never know. I don't think he traveled to Jerusalem just to speak for 10 minutes. Anyway, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, or you just want good advice, or you just have questions about real estate, I mean, seriously, ask Christina Leavenworth. She loves fielding questions because, of course, you know, she lives here. She's lived here a long time. They know the area. She and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty do an outstanding job of helping people get homes sold or purchased or both, whether it's an investment home, a rental property, a, you know, Airbnb, short-term rental, long-term rental, a fix and flip, your own home. If you got, you know, I mean, maybe you're in the military, okay, and you know somebody who's changing station and coming here. Hey, do them a favor and tell them about Christina Leavenworth. She's fantastic. She helps people in the military all the time and actually kind of loves that. Like, she feels really extra prideful about being able to help them. You know, one couple that she helped from Japan, she met them for the very first time when she gave them their keys because they did it all over social media. No problem. Like, she does that all the time for folks. Works with them, whatever the circumstances are. Get you all the way through to closing and best price buying or selling. 78, that's possible. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. What else do we have going on? Meanwhile, other news. President Trump says he might give tomahawks to the Ukraine. If he gives them tomahawks, they have the ability to threaten a long way inside of Russia, which in some ways is perfectly appropriate given that Russia has been doing things inside of Ukraine, right? On the other hand, the Russians say this would be a dramatic escalation because if we equip them to be able to threaten long-distance targets inside Russia, Russia may decide that that's a pretext for them to do the same thing back to either NATO allies or somewhere else. And, you know, this kind of an escalation. I actually think this is an effort to put pressure on Putin to end the war. Like many other things, Trump hates the war and he wants to see it end. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he will get his wish.